Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. The thinking is, if you deceive me once, well, it's your fault, and I can forgive you. But if you deceive me the second time, well, the fault lies with myself because I trusted you to not deceive me again. We like carrying grudges. Others will say, well, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. Well, that's not forgiveness either. Carrying a grudge around against someone until the day you die. In the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We pray this often. We pray it every divine service. We pray it after Bible study. We pray it after church meetings. We hear it a lot. But do we really listen to the words? So what does this mean in good Lutheran terms? Well, in two of our readings this morning, we see excellent illustrations of the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, showing us what true forgiveness is. In our Old Testament text from Genesis, we see a positive illustration, and in our gospel that we just heard, we see a negative illustration. In our gospel, Peter wants to know, where do I draw the line? He asked Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Some of the rabbis of the day had taught the people that after the third time you forgive someone, it's done. Basically, three strikes and you're out. So Peter probably thought he was doing really good by upping it from three all the way to seven. But Jesus takes Peter's number and makes it exponential. Meaning, forgiveness has no limit for those who are repentant. Now Jesus knew that this preaching sounded impossible for them to do. And we admit, is it possible to forgive someone time and time again? God alone can pour out forgiveness with grace over and over again. So Jesus tells us a parable to teach us that infinite forgiveness flows from our Heavenly Father to us poor, miserable sinners. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, that forgiveness can flow from us out to others. There are three parts in this morning's parable, and in the first two parts, there's several similarities and contrasts. In the first part, a servant owes his master, who is a king, a great debt. If you do the math, it's over 200 years' wages, an impossible debt to pay off. The other servant owes 100 days' wages. Still a good sum, but it's infinitesimal when you look at it compared to 200 years' wages. In both situations, both servants are treated heartlessly. The king knows that if he throws his servant into prison, he's never going to get anything back because there's no way he can repay. So he decides to sell the servant and his family, pilfer his goods, and call the debt finished. Now the other servant loses his mind. He goes after his servant, grabs him by the throat and chokes him and screams at him, demanding payment. And in both situations, Both of the servants fall to their knees before their master, begging for patience until they can repay the debt. But then there are the contrasts. In the first part, it's a king and his servant. The debt is so astronomical, he can never repay it. And in the second part, it's two fellow servants. While the debt is considerable, it's much smaller. But the greatest contrast is the response that goes from the creditor to the debtor. The king has pity on his servant. The word pity being the same word used in the New Testament for the compassion of Christ Jesus on the lost and hurting. After hearing the same plea for mercy, the king has mercy on his servant, setting him free. No strings attached, no debt to pay. He's free to go. And where does this servant go? Well, he goes to his fellow servant, who owes him much less. And he doesn't listen to him. He doesn't have mercy on him. He doesn't show the forgiveness that God has already, or that the king had already shown him. But he binds the sin to the servant, demanding he repay what he owed. And the parable sets up that expectation that we see in the Lord's Prayer. The expectation that the first servant would forgive just as he had been forgiven. But that was not the case. And when the king heard of his stubbornness and his hard-heartedness, he had him thrown into prison until he could repay the unpayable debt. Now, if we go a little further back in the Bible, just after Jesus taught his disciples how to pray the Lord's Prayer, Jesus told them this: "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And this is what we hear in the parable. The king echoes this with truth to the unforgiving servant. He says, "I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you?" And then the final verse of our gospel text this morning, Jesus punctuates it, saying, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." So here's the point. Forgive. The mirror of God's law should be convicting you and terrifying you as you listen to this parable. The unforgiving servant was selfish and narrow-minded. There's no wiggle room for you and me. That's the lesson to be learned. There's no room for us to withhold forgiveness. Just as the king condemned his unforgiving servant to eternal punishment in prison, so too God will punish all who do not forgive. This means you and me, fellow servants in Christ, must forgive others. Period. You must forgive because Christ Jesus is the king in the parable. Jesus has already had pity on you. He's shown his compassion for you. And he leaves the choice up to you. Either you forgive or suffer eternal damnation. But the question we ask ourselves, how? How is it possible to forgive your brother and sister, especially those that keep sinning against you with the same sin time after time again? How can I forgive that person? Well, the fact is, true forgiveness is impossible for sinful people. But Jesus would have you know that with God, all things are possible. In Sunday school this morning, we learned our sermon hymn, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It. This hymn beautifully describes the life of the child of God. In the holy waters of baptism, God called you by name and made you his own. It's his water. God took the initiative. He created the water. It's his word. And it's his work through the water and the word. He always makes the first move, naming you as his. He chose you. You did not choose him. He saw you under that weight of crushing sin and transgression, an unpayable debt of sin. And in his rich love and mercy, he sent his son Jesus to earth to take on the flesh of man and keep that law perfectly that you could not. He sent his son to earth not just to be priest and prophet, but also be king, the king who would pardon your debt. Like the unforgiving servant in the parable, there's no way you and I can ever repay our debt. So Jesus came, and he hung on the cross, shed his blood to pay the sins, to pay the wages of your sins. He paid your redemption price. As we heard in Sunday school this morning, the cross is connected to the font. Full redemption was paid on the cross by Jesus. But how does it get moved over to me? How does my debt get paid? Through the holy waters of baptism. For the sake of Jesus, God credits your account. Jesus' full redemption price credited to you. Not because you deserve it, not because you own it, not because you earned it. God took the first initiative. He sent Jesus to purchase your salvation, lasting clear into eternity. And today, for the sake of Jesus, you are all saints. But unfortunately, on this side of heaven, you are also sinners. And Satan is going to accuse you of your sins. He will point out all of your sins to you. And then he's going to point out when you do not forgive your brothers and sisters as God commands us to do. He'll tempt you to forgive once or twice. Maybe three times is going to be the limit. Maybe he'll tempt you to forgive, but never forget. But when Satan comes to you, as we heard this morning, you could gladly say, I'm God's child. I'm baptized. Don't trifle with me, Satan. My debt has been paid in full by Jesus on the cross. Sin, death, and the grave no longer have hold over me. And as we discussed, while this sinful flesh will fade away and return to dust in the grave, it's not over there. When your soul leaves this veil of tears, you join your Father in heaven. And one day, Jesus will raise your dusty body from the grave and reunite it with your soul in heaven. By faith in the promises of Jesus, you are a child of paradise. So how can we forgive our brothers and sisters, especially that one that continually sins against us again and again? Well, it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit, working through God's word. In our Old Testament text this morning, we see the perfect illustration of the Holy Spirit working through Joseph. Joseph loved God. He trusted God. And by faith, Joseph saw God at work in his life. Even though his brothers wanted to kill him, even though they sold him into slavery, Joseph remained steadfast in his faith. His brothers wanted him dead. They were hoping the life of slavery would kill him. But Joseph loved them, and he forgave them. And how did he do it? It was only by faith in the Messiah who had been foretold coming in the future. By faith in Jesus, he lovingly forgave his brothers. God calls you, brothers and sisters in Christ, to forgive one another. Unconditionally, no strings attached, no further payment needed. It sounds impossible, but with God, all things are possible. It's only something that believers can do by faith, even when you really don't want to. God alone has the ability to pour out grace in such abundance, giving his infinite forgiveness of sins flowing from the Father to poor, miserable sinners such as you and I. And then by faith in him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that forgiveness flows from you out to others. Will they sin against you again? Most likely. They usually do. You usually sin. But when they sin against you again and again, forgive them again and again. Remember that that person that sinned against you, they're a sinner just like you. And Jesus died that death on the cross for them just as much as he died for you. His death once for all. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.